Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want, when you want, with access to over 2,400 high-quality online courses, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 162, recorded on Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Gina Trapani.
The three of us unite once again. This is kind of a rocky couple of weeks because, you know, 1 week, you know, someone's here. The next week, someone's out. I think next week, Ron, you're gone. The week after that, Gina, you might be out. But that's okay. We're solid.
It's a rough time period. I've been on the road, I think, more than I've been home this month.
Oh.
But I'm home all of June. So you've got me all of June, Jason. I will be there next to you for all the IO rumors. I'll be there.
And well, yeah. And I mean, you know, Gina, you're going to be here, I imagine, IO week. Will you be here for All About Android that week?
Yes, I will. Ron says. I hope if Ron says so, then I am because I'm catching a ride with him.
I didn't respond to her email yet, but yes, I will gladly give Gina a lift up to the brick house to do the show in person as a unit.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yes, I'm excited about that. Yes, we'll all be in studio. I'm really excited about that. Thank you, Ron. By the way.
We'll netcast from the studio together and then get some dinner and drinks. Emphasis on the drinks. At least for me, because I like to. Not speaking of drinks, hey, we have an awesome guest to welcome to the show. Andrew Martinick, editor at Android Central. It's great to have you on board tonight.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the Twit Network for the second time now.
That's
hopefully
right.
The second of many.
That's right. A few weeks ago, you were on Mike Elgin's Tech News Today. I actually produced that show. So, and when he brought you on, I was like, dang it, you know, I've had you in my list to bring onto the show. And there you were on Skype in front of me. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to ask you right now. And you said yes. So thank you for coming on the show to talk all about the encompassing Android news of the week. It's good
to have
you here. We have a lot to discuss here. The potential dawn of patent peace. Maybe that's overstating it. Probably is. Google buys companies just because Google seems to be liking buying companies these days. iOS apps on Android. Thought it couldn't happen. We've got some video to prove you wrong. Some awesome Google app updates. Hardware leaks. A lot of stuff to get into. So why am I still talking? Let's get into the news. All right. So, Gina, speaking of I.O.
Speaking of I.O., the schedule's live. And I believe it's at it's google.com/events/IO/schedule. You can see all of the sessions, all of the sessions that they've announced so far listed there. You can even log in and, schedule, add ones to your calendar.
Yeah.
And, a couple of hints at what's to come. There's going to be a single 2-hour keynote on day one, not two keynotes and not a really long keynote, just single 2 hours. Got a big old what's new in Android session scheduled directly following the keynote. So, you know, there's going to be lots of Android announcements. What's new in Android, quote unquote, is Google's euphemism for we're going to announce a bunch of things and we're going to name the session as generically as possible because we can't give it away right now. Got a session on the ART runtime. So we're moving closer to the ART switch, or ART, if you will. Mm-hmm. New Android camera API, lots of Chromecast stuff, some Android Wear. This schedule that's up right now, it'll change and become more specific as announcements are made. They're usually, kind of furiously updating the schedule as the keynote's going on, as news breaks. And of course, if you're not going to I.O., which a lot of people aren't, there's a bunch of things are going to be live streaming. So you can look at that schedule and you can filter by just show me the sessions that are live streaming. Certainly the keynote is live streaming, so you can tune in and watch yourself. And of course, I should plug Twit. I know that Leo's going to be live covering the keynote the morning of I.O. He's going to be in studio. And I'll be, Jason, you and I will be actually mm-hmm. at Moscone.
Yep.
And so you can watch on Twit or you can watch directly from Google. So pretty cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think maybe Leo might be a little bummed about the fact that he's going to be pretty alone here during the keynote because, like, I'm taking off for it. You're going to be there. I think Mike Elgin's going to be there. Leo's just going to be here watching the keynote. But,
maybe I'll drive up and have breakfast with Leo.
Hey,
go. I don't want to go to I.O.
Hey, Ron, I'll get in touch with Leo. If you want to be part of the coverage, I'm sure he'd be okay with that.
I'm sure he would love to have you.
If I can swing out of the office there in the middle of the day, maybe I'll think about it. But I definitely will. I'm not looking at the schedule to see what I'm going to be missing. So I'm not going.
So actually, I didn't ask Andrew. Are you doing the I/O this year? Is this in your future?
Well, right now we have our fearless leader Phil Nickinson going there right now, representing Android Central. But we've didn't get in. I think we had four or five people register just through the regular registration in the press registration. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us have got the snub so far. So right now we'll have at least one person there.
Yeah. Good. It was a tough year. This was definitely a tough year from what I've heard from everybody and from our own experiences. Not an easy year. They're definitely kind of clamping down. And actually, I think ultimately their reasoning is, hey, this is a developers conference. Less press means more developers. And that's a very, obviously that's what the conference is all about. So that's good on Google. But excellent. We'll see Phil then at the show. Shifting gears a little bit away from I/O, which I think we're all looking forward to the fruits of I/O and everything. But what about the patent world, the exciting world of patents that I tend to always be the one to talk about? Is this the case of hell freezing over? I don't think so. But in the past few weeks, a couple of pretty major patenty things have happened. First, Apple and Google's Motorola Mobility Group filed a settlement agreement where they plan to dismiss all existing patent lawsuits against each other. There's no cross-licensing agreement. Apple and Google have also agreed to work on patent reform between each other as well. This comes after countless cases between both Apple and Motorola. This isn't necessarily like Apple and Google coming to an agreement, right? This was an ongoing battle between Apple and Motorola, which is right now owned by Google. That's about to change. That scales back to 2010, but each company bears its own court and attorney costs as a result. So kind of coming to a little bit of a truce, although I suppose we'll see kind of the longer lasting implications of that. But then news broke. I think this was earlier today, coming from the Korea Times, that Samsung and Apple are also having their own talks to settle their own patent disputes out of court, citing the recent verdict of the Apple-Samsung patent case in the U.S. as a key reason for the resumed discussion, which, as we all know, that case seemed like a major one. And then ultimately, in the end, it really didn't seem like Apple had as big of a victory as they were hoping for. So it wasn't as much of a slam dunk anyways. Florian Mueller of Foss Patents said things should be coming to an end during the summer. Apple doesn't have an endgame strategy. Its agreement with Google shows that its management is looking for a face-saving exit strategy from Steve Jobs' thermonuclear ambitions that were based on a totally, in his words, unrealistic assessment of the strength of Apple's patent portfolio. So what do we think? Is thermonuclear war coming to an end, Andrew? What do you think about this?
I really hope so. Mm-hmm. But really the most interesting part about at least the Apple Motorola, kind of settling things was that there wasn't a, as far as I'm aware, there wasn't a cross-licensing agreement involved with that.
Right, there wasn't.
So they pretty much, doubly backed down. They said, we're not going to, we're going to end this battle right now on at least the things that we were fighting about. And then we're also going to just, kind of look the other way with the fact that we may be using each other's technologies, which is usually these things end up settling out of court with a licensing deal intact so that somebody is going to be making money. But this is more of a situation where they say, I guess they've landed on level terms, which, like you said, is a big 180 away from the way Apple's been handling things before.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Gina, Ron, how does this strike you?
I don't know. I feel like it's this tennis match, it always seems that we're through it and then something else is going to come up. Yeah. Like, I just know I've been burned too many times to think that this is the end of it.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. It is kind of hard to believe that thermonuclear war really is being averted, but okay, I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to be the optimist. I think that this is a very closely watched, these cases between these particular companies are very closely watched. I think these companies have an opportunity to set a precedent of cooperation and collaboration, whatever that is. And I hope that that happens, because I think that that means that there'll be fewer thermonuclear patent wars declared in the future. I really wish that Jobs was around for this, or maybe not. Maybe I don't wish he was around. Maybe this wouldn't be happening if you're around. I don't know.
That's a really good point. I mean, maybe, he's the one who all those quotes and everything seem to have originated from him, mm-hmm. and that competitive spirit is this more of a sign of the post Jobs Apple, who knows? But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice when everybody works together and works the way it is, as opposed to going the litigious route. I'm hopeful in that regard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and to what you were saying, Andrew, as far as not coming to a cross licensing agreement, that could be a great thing. Could also not be a great thing. That could also be like, this thing that we're dealing with right now, let's just wipe the slate clean. But this leaves the door open so that we can do it again if we want to dance.
It could be a false sense of security. Yes. You could be saying, we're good for now, but maybe just watch our back still as we go forward. And maybe we should, take that as it's implied that maybe we should try to do things a different way, because, they could still, they could decide to stop pulling punches at any given time.
Sure.
But I think that it's a step in the right direction, assuming that they do the right, quote unquote, right thing is maybe not the best. We know that they've turned away from that every once in a while, but I think that if this is the path that they're going down, this could be, a good change going forward, I guess. Mm-hmm. Nothing's going to, stop them from doing it completely, fighting things out. They have their lawyers on retainer and they're just sitting there waiting to do things. So I think it's going to happen eventually. There's all these patent fights just aren't going to go away, overnight, but this is a good sign.
Yeah, agreed. I will say Friday night, after the dust settled at home and I finally picked up my phone and looked on Google+ and saw the first of these headlines coming through, I honestly didn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. That when I read the headline, I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. Then I was like, spend the next 5 minutes scanning, trying to find validity, and just being like, really? This just really? Okay, I didn't see that coming. So it's some positivity to the whole patent race, as we talked about so many times on the show. Let's hope it sticks. So, Ron?
Right. So, the Enterprise. So, as not Star Trek, but actually the workplace. For those of us who remember in the history of mobile and how it's emerged into kind of our society, BlackBerry had such dominance in the early 2000s, and a large part of that was because of its connectivity and its how well it integrated into the enterprise, meaning that people with their work phones, having their IT department be able to maintain and manage their phones and that sort of thing. And that's why BlackBerry was so strong in the early 2000s. One of the biggest things when I talk to folks about their phones and I say, hey, you should get an Android phone. Why don't you have an Android phone? They go, work makes me have this phone. And it's always kind of work. Not a lot of people want to have two devices, a personal phone and a work phone and that sort of thing. And there hasn't really been a great way. I've talked to some IT guys. There hasn't been a really great way for IT managers to, take someone's personal Android phone and adapt it and, and do what they need to in order to make it IT safe. But that may be changing as Google has acquired a company called Divide, whose main product is a way to make Android work well in the enterprise. Basically, what Divide does, it allows you to provision a different workspace that is dedicated to your company or to your company's IT folks that can be managed by them. So basically, what you've got is you've got two workspaces, your personal workspace and this IT managed workspace. So your IT manager can go in and do a remote install or a remote wipe or whatever they might need to do to make sure your work stuff is secure and protected by the company, but then also maintain your device to be personal as it's needed. It's a pretty neat product, actually. If you take a look at it, it basically replaces the Android home screen. You can see here the video. You can see how it works. And it seems to be a step in the right direction for bridging Android into the enterprise. You know, you would think that a company's sole purpose of this application is by making Android function in the by an IT manager in the business enterprise. So you'd think that Google is committing to this. Who knows what they're going to do moving forward with it? But if anything, it's a good sign for IT managers. What do you guys think of it?
Well, they
That's pretty cool.
Go for it, Gina.
I was going to say, I mean, like regular people with like real jobs, like my partner, like who had like a company issued phone, you know, had this problem of like the booty call and the duty call phones, you know, like carrying like the two, phones
around. I've never heard that before.
I haven't either. That way.
Exactly. But like, it was a pain. Like she always had two devices on her and it was annoying. You know, she had apps on one and on the other. So I think this would be really cool. I think this solves a real problem for a lot of people who have like regular office jobs, unlike myself.
I know, I
and the rest of us, I guess.
I remember back in the early 2000s when I worked for a large hotel chain, and I had they handed me a BlackBerry and I had to carry it with me. And then at the same time, I had my Windows phone, I had my Windows PC phone or whatever that was, the early HTC Slide phones. And I used to carry two phones and I hated it. So this is great.
Man. Are people still carrying two phones? Well, actually, I have been because I'm reviewing another phone.
Definitely are.
Yeah, I suppose you are right now, right, Andrew?
Oh, I mean, that's a completely different situation.
Exactly.
I carry more than two phones in any given time. But, I mean, not all of us, not everybody in the enterprise is in the situation where, you know, their business runs on Google Apps and they can have just an Android phone with a different account that's signed in and, you know, two-factor authentication and just it's done. I still see a lot of people around the city, you know, they carry the BlackBerry in the iPhone or the BlackBerry in the Galaxy S5. You know, they have to have it because that's the only way that they've been, you know, their IT department just can't handle bring your own device. And this is one way that it can be done. But some people have pointed out the divide in its current state maybe isn't the best way to go, simply because it's just a separate container and it kind of has some limitations. It lets you wipe out just that container, which is a good thing if you want to protect the personal data on the person's phone, but maybe not the best thing considering that, you know, having everything balled up in just one little area isn't always the best user experience. But the fact that this is getting integrated into Google and hopefully into future versions of Android means that, you know, maybe that container is part of the new Google Apps policy or something like that going forward.
Right. And it's not necessarily, you know, their kind of version of, because the way that they made this app divide is that it looks and feels like Android. From, you know, like an Android launcher, but it's still their launcher, right? So maybe if Google integrates that into Android, you end up getting the security benefits of that, but you're still kind of actively inside the launcher that you're used to.
And now it's important to note that we're speculating a lot of it too, is that, you know, like the only announcement we got was Divide posted on their site that they're joining Google, that they're founded with a mission to give people the best mobile experience at work. And so as part of the Android team, we're excited to continue developing solutions that our users love. For existing customers, Divide will always work as it has, and thank you for everyone. So there's no guarantee that Divide will get folded into Android or that Divide will, stick around, too. This could be a talent grab. This could be, you know, they like the developers and they're doing it. Or maybe Google doesn't want an app like this out there, so they're just going to shut it down eventually. Like, who knows which direction we'll go in? I think going with Gina's, you know, optimistic approach with the Apple-Samsung case, we can be optimistic in that they're going to take this and continue to make the merging of Android into the workplace better. It may not be with actual something as Divide, but the elements may get folded in down the road.
Yeah,
so
talent.
Who knows? Yeah,
because Google's not going to put out an app that has another launcher in it. So
that's
not going to happen. So you can assume that much.
And enterprise security isn't something that you want them to just, you know, kind of do a half job on. If they're going to do it and they're going to, you know, release a new version of Android that has all of these secure features built in, you're going to want them to go all the way and not just, you know, rebrand the app as being a Google app and then just, you know, say that it's there and available in the Play Store. You know, IT departments need more than that.
Yeah, really good point.
Yeah.
Now, Gina, iOS apps on Android, is this the holy grail that everybody is hoping for?
I was going to say, speaking of combining two devices.
Yeah, right.
iOS apps running on Android. So new video shows a proof of concept called Cider, which is running on a Nexus 7 2012 and slowly running iOS apps Yelp and iBooks. So this is a research project by, I believe, a group of students, and to get iOS apps running on Android devices. CIDR is able, and that's CIDR with a C, C-I-D-E-R, is able to copy libraries and frameworks needed to tell the apps that they're running in an Apple kernel. So this isn't quite virtualization. The Next Web put it this way. CIDR is actually running domestic and foreign binaries on the device. I'm not really sure what that means, but it's basically a way to get iOS apps running on an Android device. So this is really early, and this is R&D. I mean, CIDR doesn't support things like GPS, cameras, cell phone radios, Bluetooth, etc. as of yet. But the six Columbia University PhD students developing CIDR plan to continue their research and development to tackle these issues and more. So there you go. There's a Nexus 7 running iOS apps.
Yeah,
it sounds like one of those. I wonder if we can do this.
Oh yeah, total proof of concept. Yeah. If you skip about halfway through, Brian, you'll see, I think you get to like iBooks. Well, this is the Yelp app on iOS, and you see a few of the other ones.
Look at that, iTunes on a Nexus 7. That is wild. That is weird looking.
Yeah, not necessarily that you're going to want to run this to, you know.
A lot of people don't even want iBooks on their iPhone.
Right. Good point.
So is this really something that's, I don't know.
Too true.
It's cool.
True.
It's just, hey, give a bunch of techno geeks the ability to let their imaginations run wild and try and tell them that they can't do something and they'll make it happen. So,
native execution. Yeah, I mean, this is clearly not a consumer product and probably isn't going to be a consumer product. I mean, for years I virtualized. Yeah. I mean, Apple would never. Right. I mean, but for years, you know, I virtualized Windows on my Mac in order to check my site in Internet Explorer. You have like the whole Hackintosh project where you can run OS X on a PC, which is still kind of alive and kicking. But really, the only people who do this kind of thing are super nerds who are often developers or just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. But still kind of neat.
I totally agree. I like seeing new things, and that's certainly a new thing. I haven't seen that before. Let's take an email here real quick. Scott McKenzie wrote in to say, great show. I'm not even in the Android universe, but I still listen and watch every week. My girlfriend's mom suffered from a stroke a couple of years ago. She has been in a care facility since then. She's now becoming more independent, however. She can't quite communicate what it is that she wants to say. My girlfriend and her brother are worried that if she is out on her own, and she calls because something is wrong, that they won't know where she is. Any recommendations for an app that will work like Find My Friends does on iOS? Thanks a heap, guys. So I have, you know, not much experience with iOS, so I don't know Find My Friends. I don't know exactly the functionality that you're trying to do. Basically, I assume that you just want to find where she's at. And actually, the answer lies in something we're going to talk about in more depth in the app segment. But Google Plus pushed out a new update. Before the update, you could do location functionality for, you know, sharing your details, your location details, either citywide or pinpoint-wide with a particular person in your friend's friend list. And now in the new app, you have the ability to actually navigate to that person. Really cool feature. It sounds like exactly what you're looking to do here.
It's like the old, do you remember when Latitude came out? Latitude was the element that allowed you to tell, you know, use Android to tell people where you are. And it looks like they folded that into it. But also, very quickly, I just did a quick search to see if Find My Friends, if there was a competitor or a similar app to it. And it's available in the Google Play Store as well.
I thought Find My Friends was like an Apple thing.
I put the link in the chat room. There it is. So it is.
This isn't like the official Apple port or anything, but it just happens to be called Find My Friends.
Oh, okay, yeah. So there's an official Apple app called Find My Friends.
Oh, there's an official. I thought this was just an app. Oh, interesting. Look at that.
There you go. See, this kind of works too. But I can show you real quick, just kind of give you a sense of what we're looking at with the new app. And, oh, well, I can do that if I turn down my auto brightness here. Let's see here. Okay, there we go. All right, so let's say I wanted to navigate to Clayton in Pennsylvania and then directions. And it takes you right there and it gives you the location. I'm going to go ahead and block that away. But anyway, so it makes it really easy in the new Google Plus app. You just basically have to, your girlfriend's mom? Go into her Google Plus, if she has a Google Plus account, set it up, and enable location sharing with you directly. Here's a kind of a walkthrough on Android Police that they did on showing you how the functionality works. So totally possible and kind of built into your Android phone already if it has a Google Plus app. Pretty cool stuff.
If you want just a one-off quick sharing, here I am, Hangouts will do that as well.
Right.
You can share, just hit share a location and then drop a pin on a map.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that if you don't want to turn on location sharing all the time on Google Plus. I'm not sure if some people have a problem with that.
Totally.
Hangouts could be an option there too. And what is it called? Is it called Glimpse? Is that the one where you can
Glimpse,
track your
that's
route?
That's the one. I was trying
Glimpse
to remember.
Glimpse is great.
Yeah, that's the one. Yep.
That's also more of a real-time thing, but that has you can put bookending times on it and say from this time to that time, show somebody where I am. But
yeah, if you need that control, and absolutely, I've used Glimpse a bunch of times, and it's really helpful to just say, "Hey, I'm on my way." Usually, it's when I'm stuck on the freeway. I'm like, "I promise, I'm on my way. If you want to see when I'm going to arrive, here it is." Super cool stuff. In this case, it sounds like they want it just working on the phone in case her mom kind of gets into a situation and isn't able to say, "Here's where I am." In which case that would be handy as well. So there you go. I hope that helps, Scott. Let's take a break and thank our sponsor of today's episode. That would be Lynda, lynda.com. At lynda.com, there are hundreds of courses. They have courses on all types of technology topics, web design, development. You can learn everything from web fundamentals, mobile development for all different types of OSs, to creating a responsive web design and user experience. The design for the app is crucial, and there's just tons of walkthroughs and guides on how to make your app look great. If you're interested in creating an app for multiple platforms, lynda.com created a playlist for building a cross-platform mobile app that is available now. If you go to lynda.com/allaboutandroid, you can find all about it. Learn the latest tips, real work techniques, best practices from their courses in Photoshop. Personally, I've watched a ton of music production videos here, but tonight is I thought this was going to be last week, but apparently it's this week. I'm switching to Adobe Premiere to post-produce All About Android. And, I've been using Final Cut Pro for years and Premiere a little bit. I guarantee you I'm going to have questions in this process. And I've already watched some of the videos on Lynda, and they've just been super helpful at getting me caught up on the switch from Final Cut to Premiere. Tons of videos that are going to help me and that already have helped me in that transition. Over 2,400 courses with more added weekly. At lynda.com, courses are produced at the highest quality. These are not homemade videos on YouTube. They're well lit. They're well framed. They're shot by professionals that know exactly what they're doing. And they sound great, too. I mean, these people have been mic'd up, so you're not listening to a mic across the room with all sorts of echo and everything. It's top quality videos here. Software companies provide updated training the same day new versions of those softwares hit the market. So you'll always have the very latest skills. Lynda.com, the instructors are accomplished professionals at the top of their fields. They're passionate about teaching. That's what makes it so engaging and so effective. Courses are for all experience levels, beginner, intermediate, advanced. You can watch from your computer, your tablet, mobile device. And that means that, if you only have 15 minutes to watch something where you're at, just do that and then pick up where you left off from another machine. Or if you have 15 hours, each course is basically structured so you can learn from start to finish. They also provide transcripts that you can search, super easy transcript tool. You can actually click on a particular part of the transcript, and it'll take you right to that point in the video. So it's uninterrupted learning on your terms. Pretty awesome stuff. Lynda.com also offers certificates for completion when you finish a course, which you can publish to your LinkedIn profile. And that's great, of course, if you're a professional in the field. You want to show off what you've learned. There you go. It's only $25 a month for access to the entire Lynda.com course library. Or for $37.50 a month, you can subscribe to the premium plan, which includes exercise files that let you follow along with the instructors. You're using the same project assets that they do and that they're showing you in these videos. So you can spend as much time with it as you want. And you can try lynda.com right now, actually, with a free 7-day trial. Just visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to access the entire library. That's over 2,000 courses for free for 7 days. That's lynda.com twit.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Linda for their continued support of All About Android and the Twit Network. Thank you, guys. All right. This segment is kind of less hardware, and it's more like leaky hardware, thanks to EvLeak. So let's go to it. Leaky hardware. Ew.
Like we need a different bumper for leaky
hardware. Yeah, I'm sorry I even said that. The second it came out, I was like, oh, that's no good.
Yeah. Well, so we've been talking a lot about the LG G3. It's been rumored and it's been theorized, and we've seen specs and seen things come through. But now, an announcement is coming next Tuesday. Are you guys sitting down? Are you ready for this announcement video from LG? Because if it's pretty intense.
I think I'm ready.
All right, I'm ready. Brian, let's roll the announcement video.
Video me.
Or we can show the photos. we've got some images of the LG G3. It comes in titanium, gold, and white. So kind of picking up the gold theme from our friends over at Apple, with a third color in addition just to the white and black, or titanium in this way. And then here is the video that is going to rock your world.
I don't know if we necessarily need to see the whole thing, but all I know is it was very dramatic.
Which they're serious about it. That's the thing.
It's extremely inspirational.
This is very dramatic.
They locked a sound designer in a closet and gave him the incentive with drinks and food to create something epic, I think.
If you're going to do it, do it. That's what I say. Good for them.
Sure.
Ooh, did you see that little thing at the end there? What is that going to be?
I can tell you.
I know, yeah.
It's the quick window, whatever that is.
This Tuesday in London, we'll find out more about it, although we kind of already know about it. But that little flash there was the quick window mode, which seems to be their differentiator, their kind of product thing that's going to make the LG G3 something that we're going to be talking about. EvLeaks has some leaks of the screenshots of the quick window, and if you want to check those out. Jason, what have you heard about these?
Not much what you're looking at, but I think ultimately what's probably going to be, my guess anyways, is some sort of, cover or whatever that it shines through. And I can't remember, honestly, I don't know off the top of my head. Andrew, maybe you know this. Did the LG G2 have something similar to this kind of?
The G2 and the G Flex both had kind of a flip case that went over the front and had the window on the front, and you could choose different clocks and it's something that they took from Samsung, who did it with a quick window cover on the Note originally. So this one's just going to be round, it seems, potentially, considering all of these. They look rather Android wear-ish, actually.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, which is round, cool. Round is the new hotness, as we found from every avatar in the world. But look at the lower right-hand corner ones. In addition, the lowest right-hand corner one is looks like a phone call, which is pretty cool. And that looks very Android wear. But the one to the left of it, that looks like a launcher.
It does look like a launcher.
Yeah, so it could be like a quick app launcher, but then you have to take the screen cover off after you launch the app, so I'm not sure
which is just odd.
Or if they're internal LG made apps, maybe there is a version of them that runs in that tiny little window.
The GS5 window, I think it's called a quick window cover or something, you can actually take pictures and it shows a viewfinder in the small little window. Oh, but then it also takes really small pictures that are that awkward aspect ratio. So that is, again, it's not that useful, but it does thing.
If you look at those apps too, I mean, I could see the phone working in that window, and I could see the music player and the camera, but there's the settings icon and email, which it might be a little more difficult to do in that little circle, but who knows? Yeah.
So trying to sell covers. Sorry, I'm slow on the uptake here. This is like to sell covers over the screen that shows through.
Yeah, it's to sell a flip case. It's just like your standard flip case that goes on the front, but it just has a hole cut in it.
Gotcha.
To see through.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I mean, like you said, Samsung has their version of this. HTC has their version. The Blink feed?
Or the dot view.
The
case.
Dot view. There the we go.
So not one circle. It's just got dozens of circles.
Right.
That one's kind of cool. And even less practical because it doesn't actually really show you anything. It does this kind of dot matrix display thing. But right. In any case, the real issue with these cases is once you flip them over on the other side, you know, how is the usability with that big thing flapping off your phone? That's the issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, regardless, it does look like a pretty nice piece of hardware. Still not sold on the controls on the back thing. When I played around with, I think it was the G2. It could have even been the G1. It just didn't.
So that was kind of my biggest issue with it. Yeah. I reviewed the Verizon version, which admittedly they kind of messed up the back buttons even more by making them really flat and flush with the back. So you couldn't even tell what button you were hitting. But it seemed like too big of a trade-off to not be able to see the buttons and know where you were touching versus, you know, maybe making the bezel just slightly wider and putting the buttons on the side. It seemed like an odd trade-off, but they seem to be sticking with it after they did it with the G Flex too.
It's their differentiator, their hardware differentiator.
Yep. Got to differentiate somehow.
Yeah, apparently you do.
Yeah.
In this day and age. So, Gina, after this next leak, also courtesy of EvLeaks, are you sad that you have the HTC One M8?
Well, no,
I don't think
I'm
that
okay
you
with
need
it.
To be. Yeah,
I'm in that Zen Android place of being happy with what I have, yes. Jason. That's what I'm trying to impart upon our listeners and viewers as well. But
I have no idea what you're talking about right now. You're speaking Greek to me right now.
But if you bought an HTC One M8 and you're looking for a reason to feel full of regret, then the HTC One M8 Prime might be just the regret you're looking for. EvLeaks posted a full 360-degree rotating GIF purportedly of the Prime, which is bigger than the M8, a bigger camera bump, flatter design, less rounding on the corners. EvLeaks also claims it's a 5.5-inch screen, 2560 by 1440 screen, Snapdragon 805, 3 GB RAM, Category 6 LTE, waterproof design, case made of composite aluminum silicon carbide. Okay. No time frame on this as of yet. Looks pretty cool. I don't want a bigger phone. This is what I keep telling myself. Is like the M8 is my limit of how big I want my phone until, you know, according to the size of my hand, it goes into Phabletville. So I'm okay with where I'm at, but it looks nice.
Yeah.
This is the M8 Prime, though, Gina.
This is the M8 Prime. So clearly it's better.
This Prime name keeps appearing. I remember when there was the Nexus Prime. Which Nexus device was the Nexus Prime?
That was the Galaxy Nexus.
That was the Galaxy Nexus, right.
Yeah.
Prime.
Oh, I like that phone. That was a good phone. Yeah, I remember that one.
And I liked the name Nexus Prime, but that didn't
Yeah, I know.
Happened.
I remember that. Yeah.
I did not remember that at all. Was that like the code name or?
It might have been the Verizon version.
Okay.
Was codenamed to be the Nexus Prime, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, Prime is just like Amazon.
Different Prime, Brian. Different Prime.
I thought we were talking about the original Prime.
The OG Prime. Right there.
Prime just means things show up on my front doorstep quickly.
Yeah, that's true. Nowadays. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm just not sure what to think about this whole thing. It seems so close after the release of the M8 that it's kind of, you know, this could be really early. I mean, this is just a render, right? Just because it spins doesn't make it more official, I don't think.
Fair enough.
You mean that it doesn't exist?
It could be anything, but I don't know. It looks a little fan rendery to me, simply, you know, with the huge camera thing sticking out. You know, one of the, you know, people like to harp on the 4 ultra pixel camera as not being that good. So it kind of seems like they're going way over the top saying, look at this giant camera with the red or orange ring around it. It just seems a little bit out there to me. But hey, you know, we see all kinds of stuff and, you know, I guess some of it turns out to be true, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way the camera kind of protrudes like that does kind of remind you of HTC phones of 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. In the way that these, you know, kind of like the HTC Incredible, you know, with the sharp red around it. You're right.
The Evo. Didn't the Evo have that too? Or?
The Evo, and it got really scratched up because it just rested on the camera. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that the idea, you know, sounds right, of course, you know, it, they would come out with a new version of the phone that has better specs than the last version of the phone. But to think this is just going to be released like 3 months after the original one came out seems a little, that would be a big slap in the face to anybody who bought one. And, you know, there are a lot of people that haven't bought one that, you know, are planning on it. You know, they're going to buy, the M8 is going to hit peak sales numbers, you know, after today. It's not like sales have topped out a month after it's come out.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and Gina, you were very happy with yours.
Yeah, I dig mine. I do dig mine.
I've been playing with the, I don't have it here with me right now, but the Sprint version, the Harman Kardon version of it. Yeah, I like it. It's great hardware. Some of the software kind of bugs me, but I don't know. When does software not bug me? Apparently, it always bugs me. It's a problem I have. But I really like the device, and that's the main thing that I've always really liked about HTC. Their build quality and their hardware design is just great. So I'm liking it. And the Harman Kardon, by the way, that it's kind of a higher. It's touting higher definition audio capabilities, and I listened to a couple of high definition audio clips with it, and sounded pretty good, you know, but at the same time, you got to be a real audiophile to be cool with spending extra money for something that really highly depends on your environment and all that kind of stuff, where you're listening to it. I mean, you know, I listened to Leo had loaded on a Michael Jackson song, Want to Be Starting Something. And sorry, three times earlier. It's stuck in my head. And I listened to it on play, and then I listened to the high-res version. And yeah, I could tell the difference, but, you know, it's a really subtle difference. You got to really care. Yeah, totally. You got to really care to tell the difference. Mm-hmm. So, but anyways, nice phone. Like it. Now, speaking of nice phones, Andrew, before we move on, we found out right before the show started that you've been hanging out with the OnePlus One for the last couple of weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, speaking of big 5.5-inch phones, it's not actually the size of my head, but
you can make it look like the size.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
Maybe the size of your, a little bit smaller than your face.
Yeah, so I've been using it for a few weeks. This is still, have to have the disclaimer that this isn't a production model. They're not quite ready in shipping out the full production versions yet, but it's as close as, you know, we're going to get until people can actually buy them, which right now they're still kind of not quite available. But and same goes for the software. But that being said, it's a really interesting phone. I mean, some people have kind of rolled out their reviews now. I'm kind of taking a little more time with it simply because the software is not quite done yet. So I don't really want to, you know, point out bugs and things like that that I know are going to be fixed. But that being said, really interesting device considering $299 unlocked, and it has all of the top specs that you expect out of, you know, any phone. It's kind of, you know, been, you know, anybody who's followed the OnePlus One kind of story knows, you know, what their whole philosophy is of pumping everything out there for the low price. But it's kind of living up to it.
Hmm. Interesting. I was looking earlier at some comparisons between the camera on the iPhone 5S and the OnePlus One. I got to say, the OnePlus One looked better in most regards. How the picture's been for you?
Yeah, that's one thing that has actually been really surprising. You have a lot of people use, I say people, manufacturers use this Sony 13 megapixel sensor and camera array. But what you have to do with it on the, you know, on the backside of processing and software is really what differentiates it. And this camera does a really, really good job. I wouldn't say Galaxy S5 level in the daytime. There's something about what the Galaxy S5 can do in the daytime with HDR that's just absolutely bonkers, iPhone 5S level and above. But kind of an all-around camera, you know, during the day, low light, you know, taking pictures of sunsets or in a dark room or anything, it does a really good job. The one thing it's missing is optical image stabilization. Mm-hmm. So those really late night pictures where you want That slow shutter speed, kind of where the HTC One, the M7, and the M8 kind of stepped ahead of people. It doesn't do as well in those situations, but yeah, it's way up there. I think that this, again, I can't really evaluate it without the software being, you know, perfect, but it's up there. And again, for only $299, just kind of extra surprising.
Yeah, no kidding. And you didn't even have to smash your phone to get it.
Right, exactly. I didn't have to smash it. And luckily, not everybody has to smash their phone now, right? They can donate their phone, which is to a worthy cause, which is extra good. But yeah, do you guys have any specific questions about it? I feel like I've been living the OnePlus One, everybody asking me questions because so few people have them. But I feel a little jaded at this point with it.
No,
like, this is a phone and I have it and I've had it for 3 weeks. So
I'm going to be done with it soon. Yes, so absolutely. Well, okay. So after 2 weeks, is this the kind of phone that you could conceivably consider being your daily driver?
So the one thing that's keeping me from just jumping and saying yes is that it's large at 5.5-inch screen. I use a Nexus 5 before that, Nexus 4, a couple Sony phones at the same time. 5-inch screens to 5.5-inch a big jump. OnePlus talked a lot about it being a 5.5-inch display and a 5-inch body. That didn't really come out to be true, as, you know, these phones are just completely different sizes.
Wow.
And so I've got large hands, but even then it's kind of like, you know, it's to that point, it feels quite a bit larger than even the Note 3, because it's kind of just blocky and angular. And that's kind of my biggest issue with it. Other than that, everything is top notch. CyanogenMod is completely fine. It doesn't crash. It's not unstable at all. It's the exact same experience I expect on my Nexus 5, just with a few changes and tweaks that you have available to you. It's really just the hang up on that screen size. Everything else is really, really top notch.
Man, for $300, sounds pretty good.
That's the craziest part.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of people with that. Cool. Do you guys have any questions, or, you know?
I'm just fascinated that it exists, like to see it in the wild and to hear. I mean, yeah,
we've been hearing about it for so long, right?
I know. It's a unicorn at this point. It's a unicorn that's real.
And large, apparently.
Yes, right.
Yeah, geez.
Well, unicorns aren't very small, to their credit. Well, cool. Well, thanks for at least spilling some of the beans of your review. When can people check Android Central to find your full review?
I would say, oh man, I hate putting myself on a deadline that. I would say late next week, just to give myself some padding. Okay. But we also have, I'm kind of doing like an Ask Me Anything in our Android Central forums that's like got hundreds of responses now. And I've been in there, you know, people ask really, you know, it's really interesting to see everybody has their own little thing they want to know about. You know, I want to know about speaker quality or exactly what you can do with the notification LED or how does this on-screen versus capacitive key thing work, and, you know, all these little things that, you know, I would have to write a 25,000 word review to get all these things in, but you can just go ask me in the forums and then I can get back to you with a couple sentences and, you know, hopefully give you a shed a little light on it.
Oh, that's great.
And that's a really interesting angle, because it's like when you think about it, of what are the drivers that make people interested and then want a phone, really everybody looks for different things. Like I would never even think about speaker quality because I never play music, you know, like I rarely use speakerphone, like I don't really use it as an external kind of speaker, but to someone else that's important. And there's just so many different factors and different aspects of the phones that are, it's become so segmentized that there are different drivers that drive, you know, interest in other people. So that's cool that you're doing that.
Sorry, go.
I was going to say, you know, the screen is kind of an issue for me with the size of it, but, you know, somebody might already have an Xperia Z Ultra or something, you know, and this is a drop of an inch in screen size and they're okay with that. So, you know, I kind of have to look at it from that angle of, you know, these are the high points, these are the low points. Overall, you decide which ones are deal breakers for you.
All right. That what you were saying right there, Ron, is exactly why there is no such thing as a perfect phone, because everybody has a different point of emphasis.
And that's why Project Aura will be awesome.
I suddenly feel like a very boring person because I'm just like, does the battery last? Will it fit in my pocket? Can I use it one-handed while I'm holding onto the pole in the subway? Okay, good. Like, good to go. Although I did come to really like the HTC One speakers on the front because I watch a lot of YouTube videos with my daughter, especially, and like I liked the sound coming forward.
That was the
first time that I was like, oh, that's a thing. Yes, that's nice. I'm not holding the phone and blocking the speaker. But yeah, those questions that you just said you got, Andrew, I was like, wow. I'm not a hardware reviewer, I guess.
The big thing that people, I had to buy new SlimPort and MHL connectors for my TV because so many people wanted to know about video output on the OnePlus One. You know, I'm talking dozens and dozens of people. And so it's like, all right, Amazon Prime, get a couple things here, and then I get to test them. You know, that's not something that I would normally care about on my phone to plug into my TV, but you know, that's a selling point for some people.
Yeah, sounds like it is. All right, awesome. Well, thanks for talking about that. Everybody go to the forums at Android Central if you want to get in your questions for Andrew. and you may be sorry that you asked, Andrew.
Oh, no.
Everybody seems to have questions about this phone.
It's helping me write my review.
That's good. Fair enough. So, Ron, is this the glass holy cow edition? Although there isn't really a lot of holy cow moments here.
So, there's not a lot of holy cow, but some interesting glass notes. If you want to brand the segment.
Sure.
Like many of Google's applications, when they roll out in the kind of early stage form, and it takes a couple of versions to get the interface and the pretty factor done. Now the My Glass application hits version 3.0, and it looks like they took a step and focused on that application. Actually, Andrew, you wrote up this article. What are some of the key things of this new version of the Glass app?
It's the app that we wish the previous version just never existed. And this was like the launch version. And you could say, wow, this is, you know, exactly how it should be. It's designed just like all of the latest Google app updates, except for Google Plus now, which is quickly diverged from that already. But it's designed properly with, you know, quote unquote properly, with the slide in panel on the left. And it kind of segments out things to where, you know, your contacts is separate from your glassware, which is separate from information about your device. And before, it was kind of just this really long scrolling list of everything that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Anybody who's used glass for a little bit of time, you know, the nice interface of glass that's kind of intuitive was just completely thrown out the door when you're looking at the app on your phone.
It was pretty bad. And now it's much better.
And I'm not surprised to see this happen. I mean, we've seen this happen before where they roll something out, they get it to market, and then they get feedback, and then we get the app that we wish it had happened. You know, like it's almost like we're being involved in the R&D phase of the applications, which is kind of cool to watch that happen. But it's neat to see it come out with this new version. It looks pretty nice. But that said, there's some other little movement behind the scenes at Glass. First up, lead electrical engineer Adrian Wong has left Google and has joined the Oculus / Facebook team of Oculus Rift fame. He was a major asset to the team, holding more than 10 patents, and now he's moving on to arguably one of Google Glass's biggest competitors. So that could hurt. But then additionally, Ivy Ross will now head the Glass division on the whole division itself. Ross held a high-level marketing position at Mattel, The Gap, Disney, and Coach. And so this could be a move to take her leadership and make the glass product appeal to a mainstream audience. So that's an interesting move in terms of having somebody with such a strong marketing background heading up the division. So they lose someone, they gain someone. What do we think this does to the Glass product?
I guess the Glass team don't sign non-competes. I mean, it's interesting.
It is really interesting. Yes, you're right.
I mean, I don't know. That's sort of that's a kind of thing that happens, right? That folks could sign non-competes and say, I'm not going to go work for another. I don't know. Is that it's true, right?
It's a really good, question. Yes. I don't know the answer to that, but
I wonder if it all happened so fast that, I mean, when Glass came out, was Oculus even on Google's radar? You know what I mean? Yes, it was a Kickstarter and it had a lot of people talking about it, but who knew that Facebook would buy it? You know, like, so I wonder if that was it. This is a case of they slipped on past the goalie or another
metaphor.
That's
a pretty big slip. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that they, yeah, like you said, arguably could have had a hard time preventing, but, or, mm-hmm. or even, you know, looking forward in the future and knowing, but wow, that ultimately that ends up being kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the glass team, there's plenty of other people that are, I'm sure, capable of taking it and running with it. So, thank you. Goal. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Goal. Okay.
It's time for World Cup.
Apparently it is. So yeah, hey, so Andrew, are you, do you have a pair of glass, do you wear glass?
Yes, I have.
Are you a glastronaut,
as I have say? A nice whatever color this is, gray shale.
Yeah, I think it's the shale. I think it's
yeah, I do. We've I think three of us at Android Central have a pair, so we kind of try to keep up with it as much as possible. And yeah. I just went to one of the Glass Explorer events here. They did one of those roadshow things where they show it off to everybody in Seattle. And then the day after, they did a meetup for the Explorers. So that was nice to get together with more people that have used glass.
Mm-hmm. We have a Skype dropout issue. We will get reconnected with Andrew, but I'm sure it was going to be brilliant. But that's okay, because we will get his brilliance in the next segment, apps. All right, so we mentioned earlier, Gina, one feature of Google Plus, but pretty cool update, gotta say.
Yeah, big update. Big update rolling out today. So into the Google Plus app for Android. Big UI refresh. Auto Awesome Stories, which is a very, very cool feature, which I'll dig into more in a second. And then also on-demand animated GIFs and photo booth style shots, which you can create yourself versus waiting for Auto Awesome to
do it
for you. So let's talk about this Auto Awesome Stories. So these are like automatically created travel logs. Leo made one of his, I guess this was his cruise last fall, and it came out really, really nice. So it's just kind of a series of, you know, Google Plus photos, chooses your best photos from a particular trip and makes this kind of book or narrative or timeline where you can flip through all your photos, this really nice interface, and see where you've been and what you did and the sights you saw. And I got to tell you, I mean, of course, you know, they featured one, the official Google blog featured one of the Googlers, but I didn't really believe it until I saw Leo's and was like, oh, these are real pictures from a real trip. And it came out really, really nice. I mean, I gotta say, photos, Google Plus photos is been incredible, and I love all the Auto Awesome stuff that's come out so far. So this looks like it's on par with all the other great Auto Awesome stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, you have it on mobile as well. If you take my camera, I have it here. If you go into your Photos app after you've updated, you get access to it as well, and it's just really easy to kind of navigate through. You can add, as you see here, a narrative, so you can, you know, add captions and everything. And what's really cool about this is, I mean, it goes back as far as your history takes
that's
it.
Great.
So, I mean, I have these scaling back from like the last 2 to 3 years, and you didn't have to do anything. You know, it just kind of appears there. Pretty cool stuff.
That is so great.
Tags where
you
were, you know, at the beach. So. Cool stuff.
Yeah, my family went out to Coney Island this past Sunday, and like we got home, we were tired and had dinner or whatever, and I picked up my phone. It was like this amazing, well-produced, auto-awesome video of our day. I felt like, you know, we'd had a camera crew following us around. I mean, it's so nice that Google Plus just kind of does it for you, because otherwise I wouldn't do anything with the footage. Right. So yeah, Stories looks really, really amazing. And the on-demand animated GIFs and photo booth shots is really nice too, because, you know, Google Plus, the Auto Awesome will do it for you often, but you can't control when or with what. So this makes it easier for you to go, hey, you know, make this for me here.
Yeah, I think you go here
and then the motion, like, is the animated GIF and mix is the photo booth style.
I'll just do
this. Yeah, there you go.
Finding motion would be weird. Like, it would take me a while, but you can just create a mix and then it'll just pop it right up for you. Boom. There you go.
Yeah, really nice.
Awesome.
Really,
so
really nice. Thanks for the
demo.
This is
like manual awesome, not quite auto awesome.
Yes, right. Not quite, right. Manual awesome. Exactly.
There you go. Cool updates.
Yeah, great update.
And we have you back, Andrew. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I got cut off right in the middle of a very poignant Google Glass point, I'm sure.
Sorry about that. I filled in the blanks, and I did not make you look bad.
Okay. Well, I'll get ready to watch the replay and see how that went down. But I see you jumped right ahead.
Yeah, we just plowed on. Did you get a chance to play with the Google Plus updates at all?
Yeah, I have. I've just kind of been looking into it, you know, more deeply because this isn't your standard quick update to Google Plus. You know, it's opened up and they, you know, is big enough to give you a what's new screen and let you know what's going on. And I think the stories feature is going to be huge, you know, for, you know, whether you go on a cross country trip or just a quick, you know, step down to the park or something. Mm-hmm. It kind of encourages you. I think the biggest thing is it encourages you to take some pictures and video knowing that this will just happen for you and you won't, you know, it's not a putting a burden on yourself.
This is Brian, our technical director's trip. Where is this? To Tahoe?
Tahoe. Went skiing a couple months ago.
So then you can click in and we can go really big on this.
Thanks for picking that one up.
Yep, yep. You know, I'm in control here.
This is auto awful right there.
cool stuff. And also, you know, worth noting, we've seen a lot of leaks in the last little while about kind of like a new design approach for some of the apps. And this seems to be kind of the first redesign that seems to hint at that new kind of approach with this full, you know, like really bright and powerful color bar up at the top. And you've got the circular update button down at the bottom. Just little hints of this that I think we're going to probably see a lot more of after or during I/O and probably soon after. So I think this is the start. This is the beginning of something big. But cool stuff. One thing I don't know about the Google Plus app update is you used to have the slide out so that you could access other things, and now you don't. I think it kind of forces you into using the individual apps, which I'm not sure how I feel about that. But you can go up here and, I see. They're where they are. Really small. Interesting.
Hmm.
Huh. Okay. Well, there you go.
Wait, so Photos is separate? No, Photos is still on the sidebar, right?
No, that's what I mean. Oh, there is no sidebar, right?
It's on, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There is
right.
no sidebar. There's this pull down here. This is how you can kind of pare down what you're looking at if you want to, you know, limit it to your communities, your circles, whatever, what's hot. And then down here, this is what I was missing. I was looking for this in a sidebar, and it's actually down at the bottom, which is kind of weird.
Well, it was kind of awkward before that you swiped from the left, and then, you know, if you touched the photos, you know, it was actually sending you to a different app, kind of.
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird before.
But it still kind of sends you to the dead.
Oh, it does the same thing. But I think that now when you're just back on the main screen and you hit the pencil, it will give you the option just to look at your photos and share from there.
Oh, I see.
Instead of jumping between apps.
That's okay. I like that.
Mm.
So, and it takes the place of that bottom bar, which, you know, took up a lot of real estate before. And,
yes.
You know, they just all took you to the same screen just with things, you know, different things preloaded, which... This seems to make a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the swiping left, the old Google Plus app that had the swipe from the left and from the right just drives me crazy because I feel like quite often I'll drag my finger across the screen and by accident trigger both of those menus and then covering the content, at least on the phone side. So I'm kind of glad to see that go away.
Yep.
I think that's an improvement.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. We are all in agreement. Motion carried.
I.
All right. new Gmail on Android as well with some updates. Basically, you can save your attachments to Google Drive instead of downloading it to your device. So that's kind of neat. Kind of save some of that drive space and just link directly to Google Drive, which, you know, keeps you in the cloud just a little bit more. Spam explanation. So if you want to know why that message ended up in spam, you can find out why. It'll give you a little explanation for it. Improved right to left support. So for different languages that that are printed in the opposite direction of us here in the Western world, I suppose. There you go. And then faster access to the side navigation menu from wherever you are. If you're in the compose menu or the compose screen or other parts of the app. So I'm not going to show it though because it's my email. So there you go.
Yeah. That's fair.
But cool stuff. So check that out. In the show notes, we'll have a link to where you can find the APK if it hasn't already downloaded for you. But I think by now everybody's getting it. So you should be good. And then this next one's pretty darn cool, I think, Ron.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Kind of a theme from earlier. We could have had a whole segment about these sort of stories. But so Quest Visual, the company behind the very cool app Word Lens, which is the app that allows you to translate printed words with your phone's video camera, they got acquired by Google. So there you go. They updated their website over at wordlens.com to say Quest Visual is joining Google. We've seen the beginnings of what's possible when we harness the power of mobile devices to see the world in your language. By joining Google, we can incorporate Quest Visual's technology into Google Translate's broad language coverage and translation capabilities in the future. So Google's on a bit of a shopping spree, and in doing that, they're also kind of giving back a little. And I don't know what the motivation on this is, but Word Lens and all the language packs are currently free thanks to the Google acquisition. So if you haven't downloaded it and picked up your preferred language pack, go to the Google Play Store and grab it now while you can, because who knows if it'll stay free. So I imagine it might. I don't know. Who knows? But it sounds like this is definitely a case that we're going to see this technology get folded into Google Translate, which is cool. Which is very cool. So.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, that's a cool app.
It is a cool app.
It's really look cool. at that.
It's one of those like, oh, crap, that's magic apps.
Right, that's like we live in the future. Mm-hmm. Like that, yeah.
So, I could have swore that this was in the arena, but it never was. And now it's a Google app, so it can't be.
Somebody lost.
What?
Now, do you think, how long does it take for Word Lens and the Google Translate team to go over to Google Glass? That's the interesting thing, to walk around Google Glass in another country and have signs be translated through your point of view.
That's glassware begging to happen.
Yep, exactly.
I thought that there was.
I was
going to
say
glassware
that
for that.
Might already exist.
Does it exist?
Might already have Word Lens for. Let's see here, Glass.
See, now I'm looking.
Yeah, I just typed in Word Lens Google Glass and it came right up. Yes, they were demonstrated on Google Glass. Yep. Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. See, it made so much sense. It already happened.
Yeah, that probably exactly. played into it. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Cool. So I guess the important thing to know here is that it is free and the languages are free, and go get it now because it might not always be free or it might not always be available. It's very possible that they end up shutting it down, although they've made no mention either way whether they're going to do that or not. So get it while you can.
Keep it right next to Flappy Bird and you'll be all set.
Exactly. I have Flappy Bird forever because I got it and played it for 5 minutes. See, there you go. So, Gina, email.
Yeah, we've got an email. We've got an email from Jim. Jim writes about the arena from last week. He says, with the talk of Yahoo Digest last week, which was my app arena pick, I have to step up a bit for a play newsstand. I've been using it since it came out a few months ago, at least once a day, to get news on just about everything. Aside from the main channels, it also pulls RSS feed. The hamburger menu also allows you to jump to the original URL of the story without a hassle. Best of all, I can read CNET without being constantly pestered by ads or being asked to sign into an account. Ironically, the one thing I haven't used Play Newsstand for is reading magazines, because I don't subscribe to any. Oh well, love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny. I mentioned Yahoo Digest on Twig last week, which was right about all about Android, but Leo didn't have a tool, so I was just kind of thrown out there to see if he wanted it. And he and Jeff, who's a professor of journalism, kind of poo-pooed Digest a little bit. Like, what is the purpose of this? Like, this just summarizes stories. It's not original reporting. It's just summarized. And Leo brought up Google Play Newsstand. He's like, you know, I use this. The widget is good, if not better than Yahoo Digest. And I've been running both of them side by side, and I totally get it. Like, I get the appeal of Play Newsstand. I hadn't really played around with it very much. And I think if you are looking for more than just the News Digest kind of short summaries, Play Newsstand is a great recommendation. So thank you. Thank you to Jim.
Yeah, I've not spent much time with Play Newsstand at all. And they had their, what was it? It was the app that was folded into it not too long ago.
Currents.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Which,
and Play Newsstand is so much easier on the eyes than Currents ever was.
Yeah.
But that was also an app from an earlier generation. But Play Newsstand is actually really good just for kind of browsing around. And you don't have to have a bunch of subscriptions or manage anything. It's kind of just open it up and the content's there for you, which is kind of nice if you don't want to, you know, turn your news reading into a chore.
Right.
Yeah. And I do use Play Newsstand for, because I get free digital editions of Wired and Entertainment Weekly, because I actually do subscribe to those in the paper edition. And so those moved over to Play Newsstand, and it's been fine. I mean, it was somewhat seamless in the transition. So
there you go. Thank you, Jim, for writing in. Good point right there. All right. Let's get in the arena. What else am I going to say? Let's do it. Let's battle. Let's get there, Brian. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's move. Come on, bring it.
So many enter.
I like that. That
but
good.
Only one lives.
I was just buying you time.
Android Arena.
Appreciate it.
I was buying you time and then I panicked.
No, it let me do the explosion.
So. Okay, good. All right. Phew. I'm happy that you were able to do the explosion. So from last week, of course, we had a few apps in the arena, as we always do. We had Habit Bull, Kingdom Rush, and Yahoo News Digest. Thank you. That was me exploding, apparently. And, hey, Gina, you're not alone, right? Yahoo News Digest wins with 44% of the votes.
Yeah, I mean, I realize News Digest is probably very offensive to people who actually, like, care about and produce the news. But for the idiots like me who just want to know what the top stories are with, like, no fluff, it's pretty great.
I spend all of my time reading about technology and Android news and none of my time reading about anything else. My thought about Yahoo News Digest is here's a way for me to see what else is out there outside of this technology sphere that I seem to live and obsess with. So I liked it for that, because then I don't have to read through a million different stories and, you know, not find things that I want. These are things to focus on. I liked it for that. So there you go. Yahoo News Digest, 44% of the vote, top. Habit Bull, second place with 29%. And Kingdom Rush is third place at 26%. Before we move on, we got an email. Oh, man, I didn't include the name. Well, somebody awesome wrote in and said, "Hey there, AAA crew. Quick little thing about Gina's app pick and the settings for the app. There are the Yahoo News dots at the top. Tap on them and a Simon-like game starts."
I can't believe I missed that. I cannot believe I missed that. Awesome. I mean, the whole point of News Digest is that it's quick and you just get your news. I mean, if you know, you could play Simon as well. Mm-hmm. But kind of fun, really fun Easter egg there, which I totally missed.
Yeah.
There it is in the settings.
Look at Yahoo having fun with their apps.
Yeah, having a little bit of fun. I like that.
Putting the fun back in Yahoo. It's been years.
Yeah. Take out the exclamation point. Put in the fun.
The exclamation point stands for fun, actually. All right. So we have four new apps to show off this week. I'm going to start off since, of the people that, are returning from last week, I am the loser. And this week, I have an app that I actually used earlier today, because what did I decide to do on the morning of All About Android? Because I'm stupid. I decided to wipe my phone and start clean because I've been putting it off. And every once in a while you get that wild hair and you're like, you know what? If I hit go, then it's too late and I have to do it. So I just hit go. And in the process, I did end up deleting something that I wish I hadn't. But that's okay. I'll get over it. I have no choice, right? I have to get over it. But what helped me in my transition, when you wipe your phone and start fresh, if you don't have the Play Store automatically backing up your apps for you, which I don't, I think it's overly aggressive. It takes like all of these random apps that you've ever installed. And for me, I've installed a lot and it just starts throwing them on your phone and there's no rhyme or reason. And I just don't want that. I want to have control over what apps end up. And part of the reason that I'm wiping my phone and starting fresh is because I want to kind of cut out the fluff and only have the bare bones, the things that I actually need. What did I use? An app called List My Apps. And basically, this is an app that you install on your device, and I can show it off right here. And you can go through and create a list of the apps that you have currently installed, and then export that and share it as a file for a number of different ways. You can share it as plain text. You can share it as an HTML list if you want to like throw this in blog comments somewhere. BB code list if you want to do it in forums. Markdown list like Reddit, for example. Market URL for direct sharing like through a barcode scanning app. Oops, there's a little glare there. You can also create your own custom format if you want to. You go to the template editor and you can create one and you can use basically a combination of codes to list out in whatever way you want the pertinent information that links up to the apps that you have installed on your device. So what I did before I wiped my phone completely, I toggled this thing. This is always linked to Google Play, even if the app does not come from there. It doesn't really matter to me because that's really the only place that I install from, unless it's a random APK here and there. But I don't have Yahoo or the Amazon market installed on my phone. But that could be useful for you if you want to do that. And then, pretty much I wanted the whole thing. So I just went select all and selected all of them, as the name would let you believe. So anyways, you share that and you can share it to any number of places based on, what you had selected in the share as format drop down. I shared it as an HTML list and just emailed it to myself. And then it was as easy as pie, right? I opened up the email on my phone once I had it wiped and just clicked on the links and installed them. And I didn't have to think about, what was that one app that I had on there? I can't remember what it was. It's just a direct link to the market, pulls right up on my phone, and I can install it right away. So it just made kind of the transition a little easier. I didn't have to think about it as much, and I also kept a full log of what I had installed so that when my daughter picks up this phone expecting to find Princess Salon 4 or whatever it is that she figured out how to install on my phone before I wiped it, if she really needs it, I can find it again. So. Yes, my 4-year-old daughter just learned how to install apps on my phone. Good day. So there you go. List my nice apps. You can find it. It's free. And I don't know. It might help you. It certainly helped me today. There you go. They also have a little social sharing feature, and it's quid pro quo. So you have to select some of your apps and share it to them, and then they'll let you know what other people have shared to the pool. But when I did it, it was super generic. It was like, how about Evernote or Pocket, or at least generic to me, because those are apps that I would automatically put on anyways. But yeah, see, there you go. 4 apps. I pull up my notification tray and those are staring at me.
To be fair,
Salon.
Yeah, I've seen you be playing those at work. So,
well, I have to review a lot of apps at work, and my specialty lately is Salon apps. So, there you go. Sparkling Cyanide. Did I say Squid Pro Quo? If I did, that's awesome.
No, you did.
Okay. Well, there we go. All right. So that's it. List my apps. Ron, what you got?
Yeah, so I'm doing an app that I was somewhat skeptical about until after it was announced, but then I finally downloaded it and checked it out, and I was like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty cool. From the folks who brought us Foursquare, which kind of built on the original concept of the old mobile website, Dodgeball, Swarm is the latest app from them. It has a lot of people confused about what's the difference between Swarm and Foursquare. For those who aren't in the know or unaware of it, Foursquare is the location-based kind of check-in app. When you go to a restaurant or you go to a club or you go to a store or whatever, you can check in, you can see where your friends are checking in and that sort of thing. And it really played upon the idea of location-based discovery, either through places or your friends. Swarm now is focusing in on the idea of location-based discovery, but within your circle of friends, your group of friends, and tying that in with location. So what happens is that it's a brand new build. It's a brand new app from the Foursquare folks, and it allows you to basically check into places faster. It uses geolocation to identify where you are and where you might be nearby and identify that. But then the two interesting things are is that it changed the way that you're seeing where your friends are, so you can see, here's who's within a mile of you, here's who's a little further away, and here's who's really far away. Now, if you are social, if you have a lot of friends who use the app, somewhat like me and in San Francisco, I might go out one night and I pull this up and I see, oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of friends that are, less than a mile away. They all seem to be together. I might, this is how I used to use Foursquare. I would text somebody and be like, hey, what's going on? And then they're like, oh, there's a party. Come on down. Now, what's interesting about Swarm is that it adds in the ability for you to communicate with those friends, and you can say, hey, what's going on tonight? I'm bored. I want to go see some music. Does anybody want to come to this bar with me? And it allows you to create the swarm of your friends around based around location. Foursquare has been around for a while. It's kind of devolved into this kind of location check-in, deals, advertising kind of thing. Swarm really brings back the fun of using an application out in the field, out in the real world, to find your friends and to connect with them and to kind of have, you know, kind of have fun nights that you might not expect because you're able to kind of follow the trail of your friends or hook up with people that you didn't think that you were going to see that night. So that said, the design is very progressive in terms of from Foursquare's general design approach. It's a whole different color palette, and the interface is really neat. You could tell this is an app that they built from the ground up, as opposed to something like Foursquare that's been built upon and built upon and built upon over all these years. So who knows if it'll take off? But as of right now, I'm using it. Some of my friends are using it. I've already seen people making plans for Memorial Day weekend with it, which is pretty cool. You know, when you say you want to make plans, you can load something in, just say, hey, you know, what do you want to do Memorial Day weekend? And your friends can just indicate, I'm interested. You know, they can just kind of raise their hand saying, yeah, I want to join, or, and then a conversation can go from there. So I know we're all kind of social networked out a little bit, but again, if you have a lot of friends that use Foursquare that have kind of died down from using it, or friends that potentially are using it, Swarm is a new way to interact with them. So check it out. No badges, though. That's the one thing. That's one thing everybody loved about Foursquare, and everybody seems to be complaining in the comments on the Google Play Store about no badges. But that's
no
okay.
More badges or mayorships, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they kind of took the competitiveness out of it.
But
which
there are
is
these
fun.
Like stickers. There are stickers that you can choose when you when you check in.
Exactly. Yeah, you can kind of say what you're doing, and they're borrowing that from Facebook and Path and stuff like that. So. Yeah.
Would all that Android be a unicorn or?
Well, I think we already figured out it's a unicorn, Jason.
Actually, we did do that, didn't we? Okay. I think obviously finding out what Foursquare as a service becomes when they release their new revision of the app and the service later. It is kind of confusing. I was playing with this a couple of days ago and I'm like, okay, so this is basically Foursquare, but a little different, but not much, but I don't know.
I mean, the thing is that it takes the focus away from the location and puts the focus more on you and your friends.
Yeah.
Which I think Foursquare did years ago, but the balance recently has tipped to the location. You know, at least in the past couple of years, as they focused on monetizing and advertising and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So it's almost like you have this little guerrilla group within Foursquare that is kind of going back to what was fun about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it seems like Swarm is about finding your friends and Foursquare is going to be about finding places, right?
Yep, exactly. And what's great is that the data is shared. If you have an account with Foursquare, you already have a Swarm account.
Yep.
If you checked in on Foursquare, it shows up on Swarm. Like they're building it in the right way. So it'll be just, I'm very curious that, you know, I've only had this for a couple of days. I'm going to try it out this weekend. I'm going to be very curious to how it interacts with, you know, and admittedly, my friends are a little more, you know, they're gonna try a new app before anybody in San Francisco, but that will show the potential if it can take off with that core group of people who, you know, really loved Foursquare 5-6 years ago. Swarm could have potential, so we'll see. But at this point, the design was compelling enough, was well designed, interesting user interface. It's totally free, and you know, if you've got friends that are already on Foursquare, you already have a network in place. So
right.
Yeah, cool. I use Foursquare pretty heavily, especially here in New York. It's a New York company, and I know the founders and a bunch of my friends are on Foursquare. And since I moved back to New York, it's become immensely more useful, especially around like finding people and making plans. And I like with Swarm that you can broadcast what neighborhood you're in. So like always, so it's not like your exact location. It's just kind of the area you're in. So I can be like, oh, you know, people can know like, oh, Gina's in Greenwood Heights. Like, and if they're nearby, they can ping me and say what's going on without saying exactly where I am, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been digging it. I've been digging it a lot. Actually, Ron, you swiped it out from under me. I was scrambling today because I was going to do Swarm.
No,
you're quicker on the draw.
Then this is probably the time that I should say, Gina, you swiped your pick out from under me. So
wow,
this is one of those rare arenas.
Today?
But yeah, I was going to go with that, but then threw it in there. It's okay, though. I'm happy it turned out the way it did, but we're not there yet. Oh, no. Andrew. It's your turn. What is your app? And I'll show it off. I have it installed on the tablet here.
All right. So this is an app called Do Not Disturb. And this is the free version. I've got the paid version now, which is named differently, even though it's the same app, but a paid version. It's kind of weird. But Do Not Disturb is the free version. And basically, it does what has kind of been made more popular with the Moto X, where it'll you can choose specific times and specific contacts to turn off notifications from for a specific amount of time. So I use it mainly because I have so many devices. I set up all my devices to turn off everything completely from about 11 o'clock at night to 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning, depending. And so I will get no emails, no notification sounds, nothing but alarms will go off for a set amount of time. And so you can set up a different schedule for each day of the week. Maybe you have a weekday and a weekend schedule. And then with the paid version, I think is $2.50. You can have it monitor multiple calendars. So you just hook it up to your Gmail accounts and you can say, you know, while I'm, you know, anything that I mark as a meeting or anything on this calendar, you can mute my phone completely for that time. And just like Motorola's Motorola Assist, I think it's called, if you get a call from the same number multiple times in a row, then it will go through on like the third or fourth try. So if somebody really needs to get a hold of you at 2 a.m, they'll call you 3 times in a row and it'll ring on the third one, which is kind of a big deal. I know a lot of people are, you know, they have the phone on and on their bedside, you know, because they're kind of worried, you know, just in case somebody needs to get a hold of them. But then, you know, when you get 25 or 75 emails in the middle of the night, you don't want your phone vibrating on the desk next to you. And you also showed the instant there where you can just say, hey, mute my phone completely for the next hour. You didn't have it in your there you go. And it'll show, you know, it's going to unmute at 7:51. It has a little countdown bar for you. So the nice thing there is if you didn't hook it up to the something in your calendar and you just you can pull out your phone, tap and you're done. And then at any time from the notification pane, you just tap it and you can turn off. There you go. And then everything's back on.
I can go up here and...
Yep. And you can tap that and you could say pause it for 15 minutes or you can end it completely and it'll just add another 15 or it'll, you know, extend by another 4 hours. It's kind of nice. I wish that it had like cross device syncing. So if I changed it on one device, it would change it on the other one. But for now, it's kind of one of those first few apps that I install so that, you know, my phone's... for me, it's not necessarily the phone that I'm on, you know, my primary phone, but it's that other phone that's sitting in a desk drawer that's powered on. And then all of a sudden something's, you know, vibrating in the desk drawer, you know, and I have to go turn it off in the middle of the night because I'm getting emails in there. And then all it does is when you get up in the morning, it just turns back off. So that's kind of the nice thing. It takes the guesswork out of whether or not your phone or tablet's going to be making noise.
This is really what I have Tasker installed for is almost entirely this. And this is which is sad because there's so much more capability to Tasker and anymore. That's the only thing I really use it for.
Right. And I don't need my phone to, you know, mute when I or unmute when I leave the house or anything like that or do anything weird. I just need it to stop making noise at 11 o'clock at night and don't make noise again until 7 a.m.
Unless so-and-so calls or whatever.
Exactly. Unless somebody calls 3 times, you can at least in the premium one. I'm not sure what's in the free one. I've been using the premium one for so long that you can set up different rules for specific contacts or specific conversations. You can, you can accept incoming SMS from a single SMS number, but not for a group MMS, which is kind of nice. So you can get cut out of the group conversations in certain hours. And there's a lot of cool little tweaks you can do, but even with just the most basic one for free, it just shuts it off at night. And, you know, sleeping through the night's a really good thing. That spammy email that you get in the, you know, 2 a.m. isn't worth waking up for.
Fair enough. Awesome. I think I'm going to get this, actually. Get the full version of this. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the free version is called Do Not Disturb.
Yep.
The full version
is called Silence Premium. So all I did was just click on the developer's name, and there's two apps. There's the free one and the paid one.
Gotcha.
So there it is. And there's no in-app purchase to just upgrade. You have to uninstall the old one and install the paid one. But it is worth the $250, even the first night that you don't get woken up.
Fair enough. Let's see here. Okay, so that's awesome. It's called Do Not Disturb. Search for that. There is a free version. You can check it out. All right, now, Gina, Here is your, I have it already installed because I had icon packs and everything all loaded.
Oh, you do. Excellent. This is wonderful. I'm so sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
I thought I was so late. I was like, I'm so late with my app this week because I was kind of scrambling. But I'm sorry.
I'm happy you got it because I'm happy with the one that I did as well. So it's all
good. I should start by saying I haven't really done a whole lot of, I haven't dived into personalization apps a whole lot around wallpapers and icons because often they require root and, you know, who has the time and all that stuff. But I kind of went down that road today and I found this app, which I really like. It's called Beautiful Icon Styler Trial. It's called trial because you can try out beautiful icons and then you can purchase some. So you can see it up there on Jason's screen. What I really like about this app is it lets you choose beautiful icon sets, some free, many paid if you want through in-app purchase, and just make your device look really, really nice. And these icon sets work with a bunch of different launchers. So you can see Jason's got the Google Now launcher enabled, and you can select a different launcher. And then, yeah, you can choose. So the trial, you get to choose three different, you get up to three different styles of with free icons. So you go through, you pick the icons that you want, you go to download them or purchase them through the Play Store, you go back to a beautiful icon styler, and then you say apply these, and it just magically turns all your icons into the beautiful 8-bit. Version. 8-bit yeah, look at version. That 8-bit version. Yeah, really nice. So the only downside is that these only convert the icons on your home screen, not actually the ones in the app drawer. Oh, yeah, we're applying another one. Let's see. It's like so exciting. Like, oh, what's it going to look like?
Yeah, they're all
very nice. Oh, you got some square. Check out that Chrome. Fancy. Check out that Chrome icon. All square. See, that's the Ron icon set. Everything's square. There's nothing round.
Yes, no circles.
I don't know. There's a round circle inside the square. Does that count?
I don't know. So you can choose. There are a few different free icon sets which you can try. You can purchase whole icon sets. You can even purchase icons one by one. So if there's a particular Pocket Cast icon style or Hangouts icon style, you can buy that one. And you can even earn credits and not have to purchase by referring friends. Oh, see, I'm all about the rounds. Yeah, I really like that set. Good, that's actually the set I have enabled on mine right now. So just a really simple way and free, unless you want to dive into the paid icon sets, which I'm all about paying designers for good work. So go ahead and do that if you want. But it's kind of a simple way to just make your device look really pretty. And like I said, it works with a few different launchers. You can switch the launcher on the top left corner there. And preview, yeah, there's the regular default launcher and the Google Now launcher. And you can preview icon sets. And yeah, it's just nice way to make your device look good.
And a lot of times, I think people have been, you know, that are root users. Sorry, I can't talk. Root users have been able to do this for a long time, and it changes it system-wide. The one thing about this app is it's not changing it in your app drawer.
Right.
So if you go in your app drawer,
that's the bummer.
But you know, that's okay. Like, you know, most of your interaction to a large degree is centered around the home screen. So this is a nice, like, to say non-destructive way, because that's probably not the right descriptor for it, but it's a cool way to apply it quickly without requiring root, and it's pretty easy to revert. And
yeah,
very non-invasive, very easy to try out new icon sets quickly, and just change the look of your device, keep it fresh.
Yeah, exactly. I have my most used apps on my home screen and in folders in some cases. So rarely do I go into the app drawer anyway. Mm-hmm. But that is something to keep in mind. But it's Beautiful Icon Styler Trial. You can try it for free. Check it out. But be warned, like, you're going to want to buy an icon set pretty instantaneously. Like, as soon as I started playing with it, I was like, oh, I want these. I want these. What about these?
The trial version, you get to install three to test it out, and then if you
free ones,
and I think it's like $1.99 I think for the upgrade. It's an in-app purchase, and then you can install as many as you want. So cool.
Yes,
I like it. I approve. Beautiful Icon Styler is the app. So we have four apps for you to choose from this week: List My Apps, Swarm, Do Not Disturb, and Beautiful Icon Styler. Check it out by going to AAAPoll.com/162 to vote for your favorite app this week. I have a feeling it's going to be a close one. We have a lot of really good apps this week. And let us know what you think. AAAPoll.com/162. 2 for episode 162. That is it for this week. We've pushed right up to the time that we have for the show, but it's been a great episode. And Andrew, really appreciate you coming on the show today with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Any time that you want to talk about Android or Glass or Google or anything, I'm here.
Fantastic. We will take you up on that. Where can people find all the work that you do online?
You can find me on Android Central. You'll see me, I'm sure, on the first page on any given day. Like I said, the OnePlus One review is on the way as well. That'll be a big one. Other than that, Twitter at Andrew Martinick, Google plus Andrew Martinick. I post probably more on Google Plus just because you can get some long form stuff in there, and always posting new pictures and impressions of whatever devices I'm reviewing.
Right on. Well, we'll be looking forward to your OnePlus One review on Android Central. Thanks again, Andrew. We'll definitely have you back soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you. Gina, what you got going on these days?
I'm working on a little thing called ThinkUp, thinkup.com. That's my company. It's social analytics for humans, for regular people. And we've got a free trial in the works right now. You can sign up. It's pay for service, but we're working on a free trial. So if you've been thinking about it, but you're not so sure, in a few weeks, you may be able to try it out without having to fork over money right away. Oh, look, there's Ron's. Ron, you joined Twitter before the hashtag was invented.
Whoa, so you're ancient, Ron. Also,
yeah, you are. You're ancient. You go all the way to the top. I think that's all the way to the top. Anyway, yeah, there it is. Boom.
I love ThinkUp. ThinkUp is so much fun.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, thank you. And when I'm not working on ThinkUp and not doing AAA, I am co-hosting This Week in Google here on the Twit Network, and that airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. You should come on by and watch Leo and Jeff and I talk about all things Google tomorrow.
Once I heard on This Week in Google that ThinkUp actually tracks and surfaces how many times you swear on Twitter, I really want to swear on Twitter. I don't very much, but I want to just to see.
Drop the F-bomb, Jason. Yeah. Dude, you know you want that insight. You know.
That's like a badge right there.
What's pretty interesting is I never swear on Twitter because it posts to Facebook and that's where my mom is. And so, like, if you follow me on Twitter, you notice I never curse there, which is an interesting balance between how much I curse in real life. So there you go.
Me too. So you won't see that insight, but that's okay.
You curse in real life and it just floats out in the air and doesn't exist anymore. Exactly. You curse online and it exists forever.
It's there forever.
There you go. Ron, where can people find you?
People can find all my musings at ThinkUp, but you can also find me at about.me/RonXO. That's where you can find links to follow me on Twitter and on Facebook and on Google Plus and all that fun stuff there. And by day, I'm slaving over the comic books over at Image Comics, imagecomics.com, where you can download DRM-free copies of your favorite comic books, including The Walking Dead and Saga, which Walking Dead was out last week. Saga's out this week. It's a good time to be an Image fan, so definitely check it out.
Dude, you got a good job. You got a lot of fun in your day job.
Yeah. Keeps me on the road a lot. So that's the only problem.
Yeah. I can understand that. Cool. Well, great stuff. Thank you, Ron. Brian, how about you?
Not much going on over here, Jason.
Just are you getting a tan right now?
Yeah, part of it. The light over there for me. Getting my tan on during the show, multitasking.
So. Fine, Brian. I'll deal with it. Fine. Whatever.
But when I'm not TDing the show, I'm also hosting Know How on Thursdays, so you can check that out. And if you like corgis and motorcycles, you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. And I have some Know How tidbits that I posted recently, but mostly pictures of my dog. So.
Doge. Well, yeah. You just got yourself one more follower here.
That was a good sell. I also am following you, and I hadn't been, Brian, so I apologize for that. But that was a good sell.
It's the tan that I'm getting now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
You can find me at about.me/JasonHowell. Follow my musical exploits at yellowgoldmusic.com. And I'm on Google Plus and stuff. There's my profile, apparently. There's Andrew. See, I post things on Google Plus. That's what you do on that service. You post things. So I do. But there you go. That's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail if you want to have your voice be heard on the show. We'd love to play it as long as you say something awesome. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always leave us an email at AAA@twit.tv or send it to us. I don't know if leave it works, but whatever. Twitter, we are at Android Show. We're also on Google+. You can search for our community there. Search for All About Android. You'll find us. We have a Reddit, a subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com, which helps inform the show as far as topics that, you know, you're saying that you want on the show. We do look at that. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA, iTunes, YouTube. You can find our video all over. You can catch us live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.